We've been reading Revelation 1:5, and we read from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then that's the end of something and the beginning of the next thing. And the next thing is then a doxology, an ascription of praise to Jesus. It says three things about him toward us, what he's, how he is toward us, how he's treated us, what he's done for us, and then gives him the praise for it. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in verse 5 it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, except some of the newer Bibles don't say washed us from our sins. They say something like freed us from our sins, right? I did a little bit of reading about that. The Greek words there for washed and freed differ by one letter. And so apparently some of the old copies say the one and some say the other. And I'm going to talk to you this evening from the reading of he washed us with his own blood, which even if your translation says he freed us, you understand the truth of that he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to put this to you in a way that I hope is simple enough for the children to understand, but also good for us adults to understand. Now, let's say that there were some small children playing outside, and their parents told them, don't get in the mud. Don't get yourself muddy. That might not be a rule at your house, or maybe it is. But these parents told their small children, stay out of the mud. But these children disobeyed their parents and got right in the mud and got all muddy and made themselves filthy. Now, in this story that I'm making up here, it was Wednesday when those small children went out and got all muddy. Well, you know what Wednesday is? It's Wednesday night church, right? The midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. So the parents had this opportunity to take their children to church, but the children can't go to church, filthy, muddy, from playing in the mud. Now, let's say these children were really little, 2 or 3 years old. They're not going to clean themselves up, are they? They can't, really. And no one is going to come over and clean them up. But these children have parents who love them, and they want what's good for them. And they know how good it is for those children to be at church Wednesday night. So the parents draw a bath for their children. That is, they fill the bathtub full of clean, warm water. Or maybe in some other house there's not a bathtub and they just use the shower. Now, those small children who are all muddy, they don't have their own bathtub, right? And those small children do not have the money to pay for the electric bill or the gas bill or the propane for heating the water to where it's nice and warm. The children don't have their own. But the parents have their own. They have a bathtub and they have warm water. And they are very happy to provide that to their children. You know, loving parents don't say something like, go get your own bathtub. You know, they are very happy to put the children in their bathtub and fill it with water, warm water that they paid for. And we understand that because we understand the parents love the children. They have a will to do them good. They have a lot of concern for their children. They think very highly of those children. They want what's best for them. So they're very happy to bathe them at their own expense. So then, when they have bathed the children, now the children are no longer filthy from the mud, they're now nice and clean, then of course they're going to, you know, get dressed and have supper, and then those parents are going to take those nice clean children, take them to church, and seat them in their place at church where God is being worshipped. They're going to get to sing a hymn and pray and hear others praying and be with other people, and they're going to hear the Bible read and somebody explaining what the Bible means and giving glory to God. They're going to sit there in their places in the church where God is being worshipped. Now, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or something like that, a really little child, do you think that that child will think about all that mother has done for him and say, "Oh, mother, you're so wonderful. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for cleaning me up"? Probably not, right? It's possible that a child even a little bit older might not appreciate what the parents have done for them. But what about when those children are older? Let's say, what about when those children are 5 or 10? Or when those children are 20 or 40 or 50? And they understand what their parents did for them. Well, what will they do then? What about that? Would you all speak up and tell what you think? Once the children are older and they understand what their parents have done for them, what will the children do then? They'll tell them thank you, right? Yeah. And what else comes to mind? What will they do? One of the things that I have enjoyed doing is telling other people what my parents did. Now, for example, one time I thought I didn't want to go to vacation Bible school. And my mother said, "Well, just go the first day and we'll see how you like it." So I went the first day to Vacation Bible School, and back then Vacation Bible School was a lot about learning Bible verses and learning hymns and learning how to act in church, and there was a lot good to it. And after the first day, I really liked it, and then I went back every day. I like telling that because my mother did something really good for me, and I like telling about it. And I like telling how my parents, you know, took us to church all the time. Morning service, evening service, Wednesday night, you know, whatever. We always went to church for everything. And I like telling about that. I'm so thankful for that. So, you know, somebody who understands what his parents did for him when he was a little child will thank his parents for it eventually, and will also, you know, give them the credit for it. We'll talk about it. We'll praise them for it. We'll love them for it. Will you tell a little more what you mean by that?
I remember realizing that I would have turned out really bad if my dad had spanked me. I also spent time with me. Thinking back on how they treated me and spoke to me.
So Andrew and Stephen and Thad, you also had parents who did you a lot of good when you were little. What would you testify to anything about what that caused you to think about them later, once you're old enough to appreciate it? What kind of thoughts you had to them, or what did you say to them, or what did you say about them?
I appreciate them.
What's that?
I appreciate them in general.
Caused you to appreciate them in general? And what would your other brothers say about that subject, about what it causes you to have toward your parents when you think about the good they did you when you were little? You take them as a good example, is that what you said?
Yeah. My own parents have questions. I look at, to me, they're the paragons.
Mm-hmm.
Great parenting. I mean, not that I can, not great, but just, I know I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's caused you to love them and to see them as a good example to follow. You'd consider it giving honor to them by observing what they did and trying to do the same yourself. Giving amen. Here, there. Dylan, did it strike a chord with you? Uh-huh. Thad, does anything come to mind you'd like to testify to along those lines? Amen. Now, before I take that to something else, is there anything else your brothers would like to say along those lines? Okay. So remember, we were talking about some children who had gotten themselves all muddy. Parents cleaned them all up so that they could go to church and be in that good place. Now, we're reading something this evening that is not about children and their parents. Okay, remember what we just read. Unto him, and by him we mean Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to talk through what we just talked about in terms of dirty little children and use that to help us understand what it says right here in the Bible about Jesus. We were living our lives here in this world, and the Word of God, as we get it from the Bible, the Word of God commands us how we are to love God and to love other people. You know, you get that in the Ten Commandments. You know, for example, we are not to take the Lord's name in vain, and we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and then toward other people, we're not supposed to kill or in any other way hurt other, you know, we're not supposed to hurt other people, not supposed to steal from them, not supposed to tell lies about them. We're supposed to honor our parents. You know, The Bible tells us how we are supposed to love God and how to love other people. But what we have done many times is to disobey what the Word of God tells us. You know that Adam and Eve disobeyed in the first place, and then all of us have disobeyed also in our lives. We've rebelled. We have transgressed the law of God. Transgress, you know, to do against what it says, to do the opposite of what it says. Or, in the word that we use for all of that, we have sinned. We sin. And in sinning, we have made ourselves muddy, filthy. Not with physical mud from outside, but with the guilt of our sins. You can think of that, can't you? We, breaking God's commandments, get inside of us where you can't see it, in our souls. We get filthy with the guilt of sin, like a child who gets himself all filthy in the mud. Being guilty of sin, yes, you know, when you really did it, when you really did sin, when you did disobey your parents, when you did hurt somebody, when you did take something from somebody, when you didn't worship God like you should, that guilt is like being all muddy or filthy inside in your soul. It's like being muddy, except much, much worse. Now, it is the plan of God the Father for us to have honored places in the kingdom of heaven. You can picture a kingdom as portrayed in a movie or a book or something. A kingdom, and you have the palace or the castle, and there's the king on his throne and maybe the queen next to him. But then there's also all the lords and ladies, and they have their seats at the king's table, and they get to serve him in various ways. And it is the plan of God the Father for us to have honored places in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But we cannot enter the kingdom of God filthy. Just like you don't go to church all covered with mud, well, you don't enter the kingdom of heaven all filthy with the guilt of being a sinner. You understand how unsuitable it would be for somebody to break all the king's laws and then to go straight in to sit down at supper with the king. That's not the way it's done. Kings don't allow that. So we can't enter the kingdom of God when we're filthy with the guilt of our sin. And we're not going to clean ourselves up. Just like a 2-year-old who's gotten himself all muddy is not going to clean himself up. He basically can't. So it is with us sinners. When we have made ourselves all filthy with the guilt of sin, we're not going to be able to clean ourselves up from it. It's a kind of cleaning we can't do. I mean, any of us can go walk in the bathroom and wash our dirty hands off, but cleaning our soul from the guilt of sin, we can't do it. And there's nobody else who can do it either. You know, your mom and dad can't clean you up from that. But God the Father has given us to Jesus Christ the Son. He gave us to Him. And because God the Father has given us to Jesus Christ the Son, Jesus Christ loves us. Do you understand loving something because of who gave it to you? What'd you say? That's why you have so much what?
Useless junk.
So much useless junk.
You can't throw it away.
Because somebody gave it to you. Right. Yeah. one of the church members gave me this pocket knife. And I said, oh, it's too nice. I don't want to put it in my pocket. It'll get all scratched up. And he said, well, it can just be your Sunday knife. So it is Wednesday, buddy. I'm at church. I put this in my pocket now when I go to church or somewhere else where I'm dressed nicer. Well, there's a bazillion pocket knives in the world, but this is special to me because it was given to me by a church member out of love. You probably understand that. You have something that was given to you, and that's why you love them. I heard Mr. Weems express this concept a few years ago when he was saying that he doesn't love his wife, Mrs. Weems, because of anything that could change. He loves her because of something that doesn't change, which is that God gave her to him. Lots of other things could change, but he doesn't love her because of those things that can change. He loves her because of that, which doesn't change. That's how we are with our own children, right? Ideally, we love them because God gave them to us. He gave them to us. That's why we love them. And Jesus Christ loves us because we are given to him by God the Father. And so we're his by gift from the Father, and so he loves us. He loves us. And that is, or that's related to, willing to do us good. He wills to do us good. Some of the good that he wills to do for us is to set us in those honored places in the kingdom that God the Father has ordained. God the Father has ordained that we have honored places in the kingdom. And Jesus Christ loves us and wants for us, or wills for us, that good, that being placed in honored places in the kingdom. But we can't have those honored places if we're filthy with the guilt of sin. And so Jesus Christ allowed himself to be tortured and killed. And even after he was killed, a spear stuck into him, and water and blood flowed out. He allowed himself to be killed in ways that lots of blood flowed from him. He was whipped or scourged, primarily on the back, blood flowing out from there. He had a crown put on his head. Remember what the crown was made of? A crown of thorns crammed down on his head, blood coming out of there. And he was nailed to the cross, blood coming out of his hands and feet. And then, as I said, a spear thrust in, blood coming out of his side. He shed blood from all over while he was giving his life. His blood flowed out, and he willingly died. Now, here is something wonderfully good, but very strange to think about. That blood can clean that guilt of sin that we have in our soul, on our soul. Now, when that 2-year-old little kid needs to have his body cleaned off from the mud, what is it that the parents use to clean it off of him? Water, right? And it'll probably take some soap too. Water is the main thing. If you're talking about dirt on the body, what you need to clean it off with is water. But when the Bible talks to us about the guilt of the sin we have done, all the times we've hurt somebody, all the times we've disobeyed our parents, all the times that we've told lies, that guilt cannot be washed away with water. It's not like regular mud. It's a kind of filth that needs something else to wash it away. And what is it that washes away the guilt of sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, always in the Old Testament, from the time of Moses and Aaron all the way to the time Jesus came, that washing away of guilt by blood was not actually done, but shown by some other kind of blood besides the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of, remember, animals, bulls, goats, sheep, birds. The blood of animals, bulls and goats is a good way to refer to it, as the Bible says in one place. The blood of bulls and goats. Now, that, the blood of bulls and goats, cannot wash away the guilt of sin in your soul. But it can show it. It can stand for it. Okay? And so it can make you know that there can be such a thing. Somebody has sinned, and he goes up to the temple or the tabernacle. And the priest kills an animal, and some of that blood is sprinkled, and then the person is said to that he can be forgiven his sins. Okay, but it doesn't really work. It only shows it. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, however, is the one thing that actually can wash away the guilt of sin. And Jesus Christ shed his blood. He allowed his blood to flow out of him by all of his horrible injuries that were done to him. And that provides a stream of cleansing agent like water out of the bathtub faucet. Now, you know when your parents washed you from being muddy from outside, it was a little bit of trouble to them. Probably seemed like a lot of trouble at the time. If you've ever had to get a squirmy toddler into the bathtub, you know, it could be a lot of trouble. You can get yourself muddy doing that. You can get yourself wet. And, you know, once you start paying the bills, you realize that, you know, that water and that heat source costs something, but, you know, really it's not that much. It is a little bit of trouble. It is a little bit of expense, but it's not all that much. But you understand that to wash away the guilt of sin, Jesus Christ did not just turn on the tap and the water flows out and it costs him a dollar. Well, it wasn't that, right? In order for Jesus Christ to provide for the cleansing of our soul from the guilt of sin, he had to turn on the flow of his own blood. He had to allow himself to be whipped, scourged, crown of thorns put on his head, the nails put through his hands and feet, the spear thrust in his side. That's how he got the cleaning going, not just turning the little water on at the spigot of the bathtub. You understand that's an entirely different thing. For him to provide his own flow of blood to cleanse us. Now then, when he had done that, you know, he died. That was, you know, he gave up his life to provide that flow of cleansing blood. He was buried in a tomb, a cave cut out of the rock. A stone was rolled in front. And then, on the third day, very early in the morning, it was the first day of the week, and he rose from the dead. And then he caused the news of what he had done to go out all over the world. He told his disciples, people like Peter and John and eventually Paul, he told them to go all over telling about it. And they did. And then when they had lived their lives and died, there were still more people who have gone all over the world telling about it, including coming all the way here to tell that good news, to tell that there is washing from the guilt of sin in the blood of Jesus. then he causes people to hear it. You know, he causes you to have a brain that can understand it. He causes you to have eyes that can read, ears that can hear. He causes you to hear it. He is the one who makes sure there are preachers who stand up and preach, and parents who read you the Bible at bedtime at night. He causes us to hear it. And then he also sends his Holy Spirit, who you can't see, right? There was a time, there was more than one time, when the Holy Spirit made it to where you could see that he was there. When Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit made it to where we could see he was there by showing himself as, remember, a dove that came down and landed on Jesus and stayed there. Then later, there was the time that the disciples were all together in an upstairs room, and the Holy Spirit showed that he was there by making it look like there were tongues made out of fire coming and touching each person. So the Holy Spirit sometimes lets you see something to know he's there. But unless he does that, you can't see him. He's everywhere all the time, and you can't see him. But when somebody is hearing the good news, there's washing from the filth of sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works on the inside and works in a person faith. He believes what he's being told. I can be clean from the guilt of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. The person believes that. Yeah, I think that's true. I know that's true. And then, you know, really believes that Jesus Christ will do that for him. And then the Holy Spirit also works in their repentance when a person turns away from the sins he's been doing and follows Jesus to do what's loving and right. And so that washing from sin in the blood of Jesus Christ comes to that person, and he is forgiven all his sins. I mean, he still did all those sins in the past, right? Not only that, but sadly, he'll still do some in the future. But Jesus Christ forgives it all because it's been washed away in his blood. And then God looks on that person and he doesn't see him as filthy, dirty with guilt anymore. He sees him as clean, as righteous, and counts him as righteous and judges him righteous and pronounces him righteous because the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from the guilt of our sins. Now, when a person is first believing in Jesus for washing away the guilt of his sins, he might not understand it all that well. When he first repents, turns away from his sins to follow Jesus, when a person first does that, he might not understand it all that well. Although he probably understands it some. But once that person really thinks about it and reads in the Bible about it, and he comes to really understand this, Jesus Christ has loved me when I was still filthy with the guilt of sin, and he shed his own blood for me, for my cleansing. He did all that for me. Well then, what do you suppose such a person will do toward Jesus Christ who did all this for him? Thank him. Thank the Lord Jesus for doing all that for him. And what else will he want to do? Want to talk about it. Want to tell other people about it. Will want to speak to others about this. And what if he finds out there's a song about this? He'll want to sing that song about it. What if he finds out there's a gathering on the Lord's Day where talking about this and singing about this is what they do? He'll want to go and be part of that. And if he finds out there's other people who are also washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, then he'll want to be with them. And then, as you all were saying earlier about your parents, he'll love him for it. He'll love the Lord Jesus Christ for all the Lord Jesus has done for him. Okay? So what you have here is John, and he understands this now. He knows that he was filthy with the guilt of sin. He knows that Jesus has washed him clean with his own blood. And now he loves him for it. So listen what he says. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory. John wants Jesus Christ to shine brightly, that everyone knows what Jesus has done. And everybody, he wants everyone to have this wonderful love for and understanding of Jesus Christ that he has, so that Jesus Christ will shine forth in glory to everyone. And he says, dominion be to Jesus forever and ever. Dominion. Domini is Latin for my Lord. I don't know the exact Latin, what that is in there, but that it's to reign or to rule. Dominion is rule or reign or authority. John wants it to be that all rule, all authority, all reign be Jesus Christ's forever, because he deserves it, having done all this for us. So that's this doxology, this word of praise that we're reading here in Revelation. Would any of you brothers like to help express that, or help explain that, or testify to any of that? Brother Dylan? That's right. Isn't that Psalm 110? The people shall be willing, or the people shall be volunteers in the day of thy power. Psalm 110, verse 3. Yes, I agree. In what sense do you mean that? It reminds you of that how? That's right, offer. They'll offer themselves freely.
Some people, singers, they put it in song, like saying things like, all in all, or I don't have anything without you.
That's right.
You're the chief treasure of life. And not in a sense of making back, but just in gratefulness and love.
Nobody had to force John to write those things. He was happy to write those things, and nobody's having to force us to talk about what Jesus has done for us. We're offering it freely. Amen. Would any of you other brothers like to speak up and say anything along these lines? There are some, you know, there are some things that the Lord has done for us. We were talking earlier about how the Lord granted that Stephen could have that tooth worked on one day and start a new, apparently good job the next day. And, you know, we could just go around the room and go down the list, and all of us can say these good things that the Lord has done for us, and we're thankful. You know, but this thing right here, this particular thing, you know, this is beyond any of those things that we're thankful for in this life. The Lord Jesus has loved us and washed us in His own blood. And if you know that, if you're confident in that and believing in Jesus for that, I mean, you can be going hungry in a prison in Cuba and you can still be rejoicing and singing, you know, "Praise the Lord, I'm washed in the blood." You know, and, or, you know, like that poor man that you were talking about, Thad, you can have your daughter be diagnosed with some horrible disease and having to take treatments in hopeful that maybe she can live and the treatments don't kill her, you know. But if you know that you're washed from sin in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can rejoice and give God the glory and praise the Lord for it. I'm about to conclude, but would any of you brothers like to ask or add anything else? Okay, let us pray.